I would say the indie game Dyad.
I would say that I would way rather recommend that you buy Dyad on PlayStation.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
This game's awesome.
Dude, just real quick, I love Dyad.
Speaking of intense
and awesome,
I've been playing Dyad.
Oh, Dyad is mind-blowingly fun.
Dyad. Oh, yeah.
Now, you may be wondering, what exactly is Dyad? Well, Dyad is simply a word that means a pair or a grouping of two. In Dyad the game, you're pairing up enemies of light color, among other things. But for this interview, we're going to be looking at a pair and the differences between myself and Sean McGrath.
I'm Sean McGrath. I did some work on the Dyad thing.
To understand Dyad, you must first understand Sean McGrath, the indie game designer. So here's what he had to say about that.
It's weird. I don't know how to, think of it in really any other way than from where I am, because I have no interest in making like commercial games. Like I don't have an interest in working at a big game company. Like I don't even know if I want to make another game, right? Like I've been doing some photography and film work, and I wrote, you know, a little bit of short story, and it's just like, oh shit, this stuff is, you know, equally and maybe more so right now, creatively satisfying. So maybe I want to do this shit too. I've been working on another game as well, right? It's just like, there's so much stuff that I want to do, right? I don't know if I want to make games. So it's not like I'm like, oh, you know, I'm trying to make, you know, I'm a big indie trying to make games or whatever. It's none of that shit. It's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to make a game now. And then, you know, I'm going to fucking write a short story, make another game, fucking make some movies. I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna do everything. It's like I wouldn't consider myself a filmmaker if I made a movie, nor would I consider myself a writer if I wrote a short story. It's just like, yeah, it's just, you know, doing some shit. So I don't really have any. I don't really have a comment necessarily on being an independent game maker. It's just something I was doing. If that makes any sense at all.
I remember one comment you told me that it was hard and it takes a while to get the sort of engine
right. So I was giving you advice because you were saying that you wanted to do it. And I was like, yeah, you better spend 10 years on it and everything you make for the first 10 years is going to be fucking terrible. And that's just part of, you know, that's with everything though, right? I think, I don't know whose theory it was, but it takes 10,000 hours or 10 years to be good at anything. And that's true. And, yeah, I think it's going to have to fucking work extremely hard at it. It's not easy, no matter how much you think you know. Even if you do know a lot, like, it doesn't mean anything. It's not easy to take formalized knowledge outside of the actual act of making something and make it, no matter how good you are. Like, I watch so many movies now, and I understand, at least the way I see it, in film techniques, and I can watch a movie and I can tell you, you know, how they did certain shots and why certain shots are really good and why things are really important, and talk about pacing of story and things like that. I can critically dissect these things. I couldn't make a fucking movie to save my life, right? Because I know it'll take me 10 years of working at it before I can even think about doing something like good or doing something like meaningful in it. It's just how it is, right? It's just, it's hard, it takes time, and you gotta work really hard at it. So I think when I was saying 10 years, I think that's what, or when I was saying, yeah, everything's gonna suck or whatever, I think that's what I was referring to. That exists for everything, not just games.
I'll be sure to edit that out of context. You're like, everything sucks. And that goes for everything.
Just repeat that for 4 hours. Everything sucks, everything sucks, everything sucks. Everything is awesome. There. No, actually, like, I'm pretty harsh on a lot of things. I don't know why. It's probably because it's like, there's a solid 400 years of good music, and a solid, no, there's maybe, yeah, 400 years of good music, maybe 400, 500 years of good painting and visual art, and or more even with sculpture and things like that, and maybe, you know, 50 years of really good film, and maybe, you know, not much time of good games. Most of the good stuff is older, actually. So there's this huge, vast history of shit, that of like art that we could look at. And for the most part, why would I want to spend my time on stuff that doesn't try really hard to be the best thing it can possibly be? And that's why I think I'm really harsh on things. It's because, like, it's lazy.
Dyad is a word that implies a balance, or two different ideas that never completely consolidate. And you'll see this happening in this interview between Sean and myself. But for each individual person, it's pretty easy to contradict yourself at times. So let's listen to two examples that Sean gives right here.
Yeah, it's a big game. Well, it's simultaneously a very small game and a big game, right? But it's a pretty minimal game in many respects. In many respects, it's just fucking over the top.
In this podcast interview, we will be looking behind the minds of Sean McGrath, creator of Dyad. And like Dyad, we are going to take an unconventional approach to getting to the heart of the matter. As sometimes it'll seem aimless, as sometimes a bit abstract, but trust me, it'll all work itself together in the end. The story starts off with me, Kirby Kid, a boy and his blog. For the past 4 years, I've been writing articles, doing interviews, and even making interactive video game examples in order to develop the critical language and a critical understanding of game design. And here's what Sean has to say about this particular topic.
Yeah, I hate the... I have a lot of friends who are in academia, and I don't know whether they do good work or not. I don't know. I don't really understand any of it. And I have friends with very good thoughts who make very good games who are in academia. But for the most part, I think games academia is bullshit. Well, it's like any critical, like film criticism is bullshit too, right? Like any critical... anything critical in academia. I don't know about anything, but like film criticism is bullshit, and I think games research is for the more or less bullshit. Yeah, all my friends with PhDs can be very upset with me, but that's just how.
I think that you said something to that effect on the first email that you sent my way.
Yeah, because you were writing very non-academic. You had a very non-academic approach, but a deep analytical approach, which I appreciate. That's one of the things I do appreciate from academia, but it's always surrounded with academic nonsense. Your stuff wasn't, though, and I appreciated that.
Oh, thanks very much. Then came Sean announcing his support of my blog and his game to me in all-in-one email subject line that read, "Congrats on 4 years, and Dyad."
Yeah, I made that game.
You want to give a brief history?
No. I don't know. It's a game. It's on PlayStation. It's really good, I think. And I worked really hard on it.
From that email, I got to play an early version of Dyad, and I played it again at GDC a month later. I had promised Sean that I would write something about the game, and fast forward about half a year, I published a 4-part article review of Dyad on my blog.
It's not exactly a review, but I read what you wrote about it.
If I stick a score at the end, can I call it a review?
Well, I think you reviewed some elements in the game, but I don't think that's what constitutes a review. I read your thoughts on it, let's say that.
Yeah. So just to make it very clear, in this audio interview, I will not be reviewing Dyad. If you want my full review or thoughts on the matter, you can go to my blog, criticalgaming.com. That's critical-gaming.com. Just Google Critical Gaming Dyad and it should appear at the top of the list. Part one, it's called What is Dyad? In the article, I cover the design space, the enemy variation, the level design, and the campaign design of Dyad in great detail. But I wanted to get a little bit of feedback from the creator himself, so we're going to talk about a very specific example from Dyad right here. How about the level where you first introduced the Etchers, right?
Yeah.
And you had to get as many as you could before reaching the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
But there was a particular strategy that I found that I was like, I wonder if Sean balanced the game to prevent this from happening. So I tried it, and then I got number one on the leaderboards, and I still could have done a lot better. And I'm pretty sure you know about it, because you seem to know a lot about your own game.
Oh, yeah, I know what I already have. I have a good idea of what you're speaking
about. Yeah, because you don't give a penalty for running into Etchers.
Yeah.
That you can actually go back and catch zip lines that you missed, or just, you know, give yourself a bigger reaction window to work with. and that's how you can get as many zip lines as possible for that stage, or at least a lot more than everybody else.
Right.
Is that an example of some of the things that you sort of really like about the game, how the levels have multiple types of strategies to get high scores or to accomplish whatever you're looking for? And is that why you think Dyad has more of a puzzle game type feel? Or
I think that the fact that, like, a lot of the reviews and what people talk about, they say, oh, the knockback penalty or whatever, they immediately say that that's like a penalty from like a gameplay standpoint, right? It's not. I mean, that's one of the levels that it's a good idea to do that. There's a few.
Yeah.
There's a few. That is a level where you do want to get knocked back. And, you know, all the reviews say your goal is speed, right? Well, in that particular level, you don't want to go fast. You want to go as, you want to go as slow as possible. You want to ride the zip line for as little amount of time as possible.
Yeah.
Get it to count.
And then cut out.
And then get off and then get knocked back and find another one, right? That's the optimal way to play that level. There is another level where I did have to hard code in. I'm not going to tell you what level it is or what the strategy is, but there is a level where I had to hard code in a block. Otherwise, you could have gotten an infinite score.
Oh, yeah.
So there are situations like, and no one has found that yet, as far as I know.
Yeah, the game's still young.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that stuff is all intentional. I could have made it so that when you hit an etcher, you lose 2 points, but that's substantially less interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was very obvious. I'm like, I lost points on other levels for hitting stuff, but on this level, I'm not. So
I think you do. I think you'd lose points if you hit the beam.
If you hit the beam?
I think you lose points if you hit the beam. If I remember correctly, I'd have to play it again or look at the code. But I think you'd lose points if you hit the beam, and so it's important to teach the levels. You know, these levels are all teaching you something, and one of the things that level teaches you is to avoid the beam and run into the and follow the trail but left behind, right? So that's intentional that you would lose points when you hit the beam. Maybe I took it out for some reason, I don't know. But if you run into the enemy, you don't need to be taught that anymore. So there's something there's some like interesting sort of gameplay thing that you can add to that, right? So the fact that you don't lose points is totally intentional. And there's lots of like weird things like that that you can play in every level. Or I don't know if something like that exists in every level necessarily, but something exists in most or all levels where if you think about the gameplay from
how it's taught and the design space rules you already know, you should be able to come up with a new way of looking and approaching it.
Yeah, so are you number one on the leaderboard still?
In case you were wondering, the level we're talking about is level 21, Becoming Purple. And as of August 18th, I am still number one in the leaderboard. Yeah, so right when I was first sort of getting into Dyad, and I was playing it at first, I played it a little bit before GDC, and then just sort of watching people play it at GDC and then listening to you talk about it, I figured this was the kind of design that you were working with. I figured you had a set of core interactions that you're working with, but then you put a lot of details into the way that these elements work. You wanted to balance things out to where like everything has a positive and a negative, and depending on the level, depending on the context, depending on the rules, that you should be able to take what you already understand and sort of flip it, twist it, or just apply it in a new way, and everything isn't as straightforward as it appears to be.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I think. I mean, I think everything should have as much meaning as possible, that's all. It's like, if something is there, and it has, like, the thing I abhor about modern games is that whenever you're presented with a situation, there's always the best thing to do, so you should always just do that. Well, why don't you just make it, why would I have some designer impose like some authorial voice saying this is the best thing to do, here it is, and then I'm gonna make it really hard for you to do that? It's just like, well, that's fucking stupid. So I don't like that school of game design at all. It's just like, if there's something that's the best thing to do, why don't I just always do it? oh, because it's hard. Well, fuck that. Then I'm not interested in that game, right? So I wanted to take, like, what the best things to do. Like, it was really hard to when the game was starting up because you didn't have any of these mechanics in it, right? So I wanted to be like, what's the best thing to do? Go fast. Okay, we'll just make it really easy to do that. It's just like, oh, okay, well, how about steering? Steering is what's always complicated in racing games, right? Because, like, you have inertia and friction and all that nonsense. I was just like, oh, we'll just get rid of all that crap. And just, like, make it, like, seriously as easy as possible to do really hard stuff. And then figure out, you know, what to do out of that. It would be like taking a platforming game and being like, okay, so you can't ever fall off a platform. And wherever you jump, you always go to exactly where you want to go. Somehow, like, some, maybe the game pauses or just something gets, you know, if the game pauses and you have to pick, that would be really boring. But,
yeah.
Something that feels good, something that you can actually play with. And just be like, remove all things that we normally consider challenging and then figure out what's cool in the game. And if nothing is cool about that, that's why I hate platformers. Sure, I don't hate necessarily platformers, but like, if one of the problems I have with platformers is like the thing that's fun is jumping around. Well, make it, if that's what the game is about, that's kind of boring.
You sound a lot like, well, in many ways you're talking about a couple of different things here, sort of a the core design of a game, the straightforwardness of its level challenges, and then ultimately the difficulty of its level challenges. But for a moment there, you sounded exactly like one of my favorite game designers that I wrote about, the Masahiro Sakurai, and how he described how he approaches creating games his way. And you almost said it like word for word, but
I don't even know who that is.
He's the creator of Super Smash Bros., Kirby's Air Ride, Meteos, Kirby Superstar, creator of Kirby, the character itself.
Oh, yeah, I guess you do like him then.
Yeah. But the way he described it, disassembly, where he looks at a game like that and he says, well, where's the core fun and what can we take away just to get to that, and then how can we build it back up in a different direction?
Oh, yeah, that's totally how Diet is made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a smart guy. Or he's as dumb as I am, one of the two.
One of the two.
You know, I get interviewed a lot, and people are like,
So what were you trying to do with Dyad that's different?
They ask me for formal, I don't think they ask me directly necessarily, but the undertone is that they want like a formal description of how all the systems came to be.
Is there a kind of like a theory or a science behind the way you use sound and light to affect people that way?
Mm-hmm.
And how the game does what it does. And actually, some people just want to know what the fuck it does, right? And it's like, I did a lot of research. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of that stuff. But how it was made and how all the shit that it does was constructed is I put a lot of stuff into the game. And I threw away
most of it.
Oh, like 90%.
Yeah.
Like 90%+. It's just like what's there is exactly what I needed it to be, but only because I fucking tried everything else. Like, it's not like I didn't, like, I did have a formal understanding and a formal background of knowledge as to what I was attempting to do, but like that took so little. That was so little of it, and like that was a small, small fraction of what was actually done in the game. What was done was just fucking making every possibility possible and being like, well, this isn't good, or well, this has something interesting in it, so let's distill what's interesting in it and take that and put it into the game in sort of a reasonable way. So, like, that's how it was made. Like, that's how all that shit was done. It was just done instinctively and with a lot of work, not with a lot of, you know, boring academic stuff to it. So all that shit would, like, when you were like, oh, I was trying to figure all that stuff out, yeah, you probably have a better understanding of it than I do, even though I made Dyad, because like I didn't do any of that stuff.
You know, I absolutely love this thing, and really the only way to kind of get it, like Sean said, is to really play it.
Like, it's really hard to really understand it until you just play it.
Dyad is a hard game to describe.
I've heard you describe this game on this show, in TRS, and I need to play this because I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
So last week, we were trying to explain it, and
I wasn't really completely getting the gist of it. It was like, it's like Tempest, but there's spikes, and then you grab on the spikes and pull yourself into the tunnel.
See footage to even get a base of what's happening.
You can't look at a video and go like, oh yeah, this totally makes sense. Like,
it's an experience, this game. And again, like he said, it's one of those things where if you're alone in your room in the dark, it's the best way to experience it.
So what do you think in general when somebody says, oh, you can't understand Dyad until you play it?
I think it's true. And it really is true. I don't think it's a unique thing to Dyad, or maybe it is a unique thing to Dyad. Because the easiest way people understand games without playing them is by looking at them visually. Dyad looks fucking weird, right? And then one of the goals from a gameplay and visual design perspective was to obfuscate the visual so that you can't see. And then, you know, sort of teach your subconscious how to play. So like if you see the space giraffe level of giraffes in outer space, yeah, you have no fucking idea what's going on, right? And you know, as soon as you play it, it makes perfect sense. So yeah, it really is a game that you do have to play. And another reason is there's nothing. It's a pretty minimal game in many respects. In many respects, it's just fucking over the top. But in many, it's like, anything that didn't make the game better, like the play experience of the game better and more, let's just say better for now. well, I'm going to get to what I mean. Anything that didn't make it better was just cut. So that's including like the moment-to-moment stuff. For the most part, that stuff never gets cut, or it gets like people, that shit gets added to it, or it's made like clear for other people to understand, or things like that. I don't know what other games do. I don't know why they're so awful. But one of the things with Dyad was to be as pure as possible and not to have anything that wasn't absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. So when you strip a game down to have nothing that isn't absolutely necessary for the player, and you make the game a really intense experience, like it's an intense game, it's an exhausting game to play, when you do all that, it's not going to be very easy to understand without playing. It does some stuff with the way the feedback works that gets inside your head, that makes you that does things that only video games can do, right? And trying to articulate that in language or in something outside of video games, you certainly lose a lot in translation. So I think. It's an indescribable game.
I think a lot of that too, like what you're saying, you have to play to understand, but that sort of comes with the territory of games. Like you can see a game even if it's in a sort of cookie cutter mold, but you can't know what's going on fully until you like put your hands on the controller, until you're doing all the actions, until you're in it, and you'll get the experience that it was designed to be. It's sort of like
For good games, you're absolutely right. Well, like Dark Souls, for example, right? Like if I explain to you what's so good about Dark Souls, or I explain to anybody, like I fucking love that game. That's like one of the best games ever made. And I explain to people what's good about it, they're like, ugh, it doesn't sound fun. I was like, no, you really just get a fucking controller and play it, and you'll totally understand why. Some people still don't like it, but whatever. you know, it's not for everybody. But like, what's interesting about Dark Souls is totally, you know, you could describe it. Well, you could describe Dark Souls because it's not abstract, right? So you can, it exists in the understanding of the real world. So you can describe it, and people can sort of form their own abstraction about what they think that is like. And it's somewhat, you can somewhat understand that. But for Dyad, because it does the weird shit that Dark Souls does, and it also is like abstract visually and musically, it's like, it's just another layer of shit people don't understand.
I think you also did a lot of work to purposefully lead people off the mark when you presented Dyad, either in trailer form or in person. Like that one story you told me where you just kind of got up on stage, showed the game on a really crazy level, and just said like thanks and walked off the stage without saying anything about the game. How did that story go?
Well, basically, as you described it.
Yeah. It was a pretty simple story.
Yeah, I was doing a... it was a pitch talk at GDC that Sony was giving for their PubFund program. And I was like, well, a way to make this... Because they were like, you know, what type of game do you want for PubFund? And people were like, oh, we want weird shit. So I was like, oh, I got you guys covered. So, yeah, I went up on stage and I played the game and I was like, PubFund is awesome because they fund games like this. And then, like, that was it.
Trailers, like, you could have, in their trailers, I don't even know how much control you had over that, but in general, like, if you showed the levels at the beginning and said, this is how it starts, and kind of walked the video through sort of the lessons.
I had one of those.
Did I ever see that? I wonder if I did.
It was the PSN introduction when I announced it for PlayStation. 2011, April, I think.
Okay.
I'll find it. I'll find it for you right now. Cool. I have that power. I have the internet. Yeah, internet. My videos on Vimeo here. Announced trailer. PSN trailer. You can watch it right now. But yeah, this trailer here shows everything. It's boring as fuck. I mean, I did my best to make it interesting, and there's a decent piece of music and some... have decent video effects and good editing and stuff, but it's like, that's not fun. And like, showing the early levels, like, I did show people early levels. Do you know what people say when they see early levels? They say, oh, that game is boring.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, it's a real tough, like, people think that, like, people assume that, like, without playing it, you look at the third level and you're like, oh, that's really easy. How could anyone fail that? You fucking play the third level without playing the first two? That level's hard.
If you stepped into a middle level, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And it's like every level that's not level one is hard. And the third level's boring to watch because it's just not exciting. But you play it and it's totally exciting because it's way too fast for you. Even though when you look at it, it doesn't look that fast.
Yeah.
So like, describing it with video is, you know, I mean, maybe someone smarter than me or better with videos could do it, but I couldn't.
Like, I was actually kind of turned off by the media coverage of this game because everybody's like, it's like you're on drugs.
Right. The best way to advertise it.
And I'm like, well, is that all people can say about the game? Is that it looks like you're on drugs?
Just constantly, I don't know, it's almost like virtual meth or something.
It really is, dude. It's the closest to tripping balls you'll ever have in a video game.
So you created, like,
back of the box.
The skeleton. You have to be in a dark room. You have to be alone. You have to be uninterrupted with all this craziness.
Who did?
You have to be on acid.
I've never done drugs, but I bet it doesn't feel like this. Dude, I tried a remix level yesterday, and that's when I felt like I was on drugs. Really.
Do you have any comment on when or where all of the drug references started coming into play in Dyad's discourse?
Where?
When or who might have started it, or like, was it a post, a video, was it a announcement, was it just generally how it was discussed from the get-go, or what?
Oh, it wasn't discussed from the get-go. It was something I didn't start them, I just rolled with them because I think they're funny. I think they're silly, actually. I don't know where it came from, but as soon as people see bright colors that move, people just say drugs.
I was just so overwhelmed by it. I think I was drooling at one point.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, I just, it's colors.
You know, bright, vibrant colors, not quite neon, but very much like coursing with electricity and lots of special effects on them.
Somebody on the internet said like their eyeballs were bleeding rainbows or something. That's how it feels.
Yes. Sensory overload. It's just lots of colors.
It's just like...
I mean, it's totally true. I don't know. I didn't start it.
Yeah, I kind of got that impression. Like, on the website, you make references to hallucinogenic experiences. Were you riffing off of these sort of drug references, or is that something that you had in mind from the beginning?
I didn't.
And do you think of that as separate?
Well, I didn't have it in mind, you know, initially at least. Let's see. We did have meditation in mind. It was a meditative game. That was how it was originally designed. The levels were called mantras, and you played them, and it was something you repeated, and you learned things about yourself as you played the game, and your mind opened up because you were playing subconsciously. That was a very early idea for the game. That's not too dissimilar from what hallucinogens are. So it did seem sort of like a natural evolution, but
yes.
It sounds very hypnotic.
Yes, it is very hypnotic.
Where do I talk about them being a hallucinogen?
On your website? DiadGame.com?
That's not true.
Let me check it out.
Experience of mind bending, psychedelic, sensory overload. Experience of mind bending, psychedelic, sensory overload when Dyad hits PSN on July 17th. I really should update this. Blast through a reactive audio visual tune, creating a harmonious synthesis of color and sound as you hook Graysonland's enemies to master Dyad's. Master is such a shitty verb here. Master Dyad's 27 unique levels. Embark on an interactive, transformative journey through Dyad's game mode. Through Dyad's game mode campaign. Ugh. To prepare yourself for trophy modes, tactical freakout variations, wherein a platinum trophy awaits only the most skillful, or choose to sit back and chill with Dyad's hallucinogenic remix mode. Okay, so it's a hallucinogenic remix mode. I mean, maybe it'll cause you to hallucinate. I don't know. Transcendence awaits. Yeah.
So yeah, that was just something I was curious about.
I didn't start them. I barely, you know, I push for. In the marketing text, I talk about, you know, bright colors and getting an open mind and it being like a mind expansive experience. And I certainly think it is. And that has a lot of parallels with, you know, hallucinogens. So, shit. I guess they're similar. There's a lot of overlap. But I didn't start it.
So the game Tetris Attack seems to pop up every now and then whenever you make interviews or make comments in interviews about Dyad. I want you to say a little bit more about your experience with that game and what you think about it.
Oh, I think it's like one of the best games ever made.
When did you start playing it?
Like
on SNES, back when it was Tetris Attack, or did you play any other versions?
I think I've played all the versions.
They sort of worked out this particular strategy that it's a lot less freestyling than I would like, but I've seen one where they just sort of dig out a column in the middle, an empty column, then they can dump anything they want from the left and right to quickly keep a chain going and get lots of points. I don't know how I feel about that overall.
Yeah, the game breaks down at a super high level. Like, the whole garbage system is, like, it's just flawed.
Yeah.
It's broken. It doesn't work. But, you know, the core of the game is, you know, the best.
Yeah, solid.
It's like one of the, it's probably like the one of the best games I've ever played from that respect.
When you are playing Dyad, the world around you just kind of melts away.
Yeah, and you really can't focus on anything except the screen.
All you can see is Dyad.
It's one of those games where I found myself not blinking as much.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those Zen-like games.
And for me, it was that thing where you get into this almost Zen-like thing where you're...
Do you get into drama. That, like, trance?
The amount of visual sort of noise and stuff is very loud. There's a lot of stuff going on screen, but somehow, you know, after playing it for a minute, you actually figure out how to focus on the narrowest part of the tube where you're highlighting these little nuggets, these little gems.
How about this? When you reach that Zen state of mind with Tetris, where all you see are the gaps in your body and mind that need to be fulfilled with life-affirming tetraminos, and the act of rotating and dropping blocks is as natural to you as breathing. He's basically describing that moment and comparing that to the Zen moments you get in Dyad, where eventually everything drains away and speed becomes unmanageable. That's when your Zen moment breaks. But in general, I have a couple of quotes here talking about how you can get into the zone when playing Dyad. And I want to know what you think before I...
So wait, he said that the Zen breaks when you go too fast.
Yeah, he said that.
Well, he's wrong, because that's why the Lance exists. Like, there's a very clear reason why it's there. I mean, there's lots of reasons why it's there, and that's one of them. But anyways, He just needs to be better with the mechanics, I think.
So in general, though, getting into the zone, something you can do in Dyad, you can also do in other games, correct?
Lots of games, yeah.
I think a lot of people have been playing the same sort of shooter experience over and over and over, which is very sort of checkpoint managed, story-based, sort of set-piece, not interactively interesting kind of shooter set-pieces. And when they get to a game like Dyad, which is about the gameplay exclusively or foremost, and it's sort of designed completely around that to a very efficient and elegant degree, you get people sort of coming out with these kinds of statements that I feel apply to like all good games or all gaming experiences that each individual likes. When they put their energy and their focus into, they sort of get closer and closer to entering these zen-like states.
Well, I think Dyad is better at it than other games, but it's not better at it because of necessarily how it's designed. I mean, there's some overarching design reasons why, but there were some choices that were made that are actually quite simple that make it better suited for it. So for me personally, the best games for getting in the zone have been racing games. And the reason for that is, after I did a lot of research and discovery and sort of figured some shit out, is that when your difficulty is tied to your action in a very elegant way, as racing games are, speed up, you have less time to react, shit's harder, right? Like, it's a very, very simple reaction. That is more conducive to being in the zone. A tunnel is a fucking visual representation of the zone, right? So there, a constant beat kick drum is an aural representation of a zone. So all of these choices were simple and not complex, and any idiot could have done them, but they were the correct choices that make Dyad more zone-like than I think any other game. And that's the only reason why, because it has a constant kick drum, it happens in a tube, and it's a racing game where when you speed up, shit gets harder. So I think they're correct in saying that. I think they're probably blowing it way out of proportion relative to other games, but I do think that it's probably, it's the best that I know of. Maybe there's better.
Well put.
But I don't think it's special. It just happened to have done that. It happened to make those three good choices.
What's the genre of this game?
This is a PS3 game, and it is a
kind of a racing.
It's not really kind racing. Of puzzle?
Puzzler?
Oh,
racer,
really?
Hybrid? Puzzle would give you the wrong impression.
It's like a twitchy arcade style action game.
It's like a Jeff Minter game, only good.
At its essence, Dyad is a puzzle game. But that's oversimplifying it, because it's also part shooter. You can even make the case that it has some music game DNA in it, too.
Now, most of you are probably wondering, well, what's Dyad? And simply put, it's a game that has no idea what genre it should probably fit into.
So what genre would you put Dyad in?
I don't know. It doesn't fit in any genre, right? Like, it's not a racing game. It's not a puzzle game. It's not an action game. It's not an arcade game. But it kind of... It is
an action game.
Well, everything is an action game. I don't think that's a
racing. Everything but turn-based games, of course.
Right, so sure, but like that doesn't narrow it down at all, right? So like, I mean, it doesn't fit nicely into any genre. It doesn't even fit nicely into two genres or three genres, right? It's just like, yeah, it's kind of got some racing stuff in it. It kind of has some puzzle stuff in it. It kind of has some action stuff in it, I guess, or whatever. I mean, like, I don't know. Genres are stupid, like, because I think when you try to, a lot of people, when they start making a game, are like, oh, I'm making a puzzle game. And then, like, they're immediately constricted. Oh, I'm making a racing game. And they're immediately constricted. So it's like, fuck it, I don't care. I don't care about genres. What genre do you think it is?
It's a very trippy take on racing games.
At its core, simplest level, it's like racing through a tube.
I think it stacks with racing and sort of, like, as I described the core essence of racing, which is that dynamic between control and speed, and sort of seeing a track or some kind of heads up
on upcoming obstacles. I think that's pretty much the core that drives all the levels, right? All the basic interactivity. So racing's a big part, and then it goes into sort of the shmup-like touches where you're lining up shots and you're dodging bullets or projectiles, because soon the obstacles themselves become like projectiles, and you're both simultaneously maneuvering around them for speed, sometimes not for speed for others, and then you're also sort of lining up and using that vertical aim in different ways. That's why I felt like it had a very shmup-like feel, and then beyond that, just a touch of puzzle. But
I mean, like, another genre, here's another genre that no one picked up on, but I was having this conversation with my friend Reagan today, or yesterday, or some recent time that I saw him. I've seen him a lot over the last few days. We were talking about, he was like, oh, Dia is actually two-dimensional. I was like, yeah, it's a 2D game. Like, you have one dimension is your rotation. It's a polar dimension, but it's still a single dimension.
Yep.
And your secondary dimension is how far deep you are. But for the most part, you stay on a single, let's call it a platform, because then you can see where I'm going with this. You stay on a single platform, and then you lance yourself forward, and you move in the X and Y direction, and then you sort of jump forward with your lance. And then as gravity kicks in, or your lance energy runs out, you go back to the platform. It has a similar thing that platform games have, where they have a symmetry between the two dimensions in which they are. So you can't move. The only difference between a platformer and a vertical shooter is that there's an asymmetry between the X and the Y that exists in platformers that doesn't exist in vertical shooters. That's the only difference.
In the whole shooting part, platformers usually don't have a lot of shooting.
Well, you do in Gunstar Heroes or whatever genre you want.
That's
to call
more like
that.
Action combat.
Well, whatever it is, it doesn't. I mean, there are shmups that don't have shooting. Believe me.
Yeah, there's plenty of examples that blend the genres. But
right. But it's the asymmetry between X and Y that makes platformers interesting. Dyad has that asymmetry.
So it's
just as much of a platformer as any
of those
other shmups.
It is not. It is not. So here's the cool part: when you strip a genre, like a video game genre, down to its essence, and you're really looking at what its core fun is, the more you strip away sort of the particular recognizable genre-defining items, like for racing games, it's cars, and like for shooters, it's some kind of projectile weapon, like the more you strip it down, you get to its essence, then all the genres become closer and closer, like more similar. You could say that in a way, like, the struggle between maneuvering around enemies and the struggle between shooting them makes this more like a, you know, like, it's not an RPG.
No. Well, yeah, sure, but what I was talking about was just
So when you do abstract it and simplify it down there, of course it's going to make it a lot.
But, like, you could take, like, N is probably the best platformer I can think of. If you take N, it's pretty fucking simple. The only thing that exists in it is nuance of movement and asymmetry between X and Y. And it's like, and that's like, they do more with asymmetry with X and Y and just simple movement than I've seen games do with a million times more elements. So it's like, well, I know I wouldn't call it a platformer. But I'm stating that it has the asymmetry between X and Y, and its lance operates very similarly to jump. This wasn't intentional. I wasn't thinking about this when I had designed it. I'm just stating that, like, that's a truth that exists in the game. Mm-hmm. And whether I discovered that on my own or whether that was subconsciously inside of me because of how many platformer games I have played, I don't know.
Did you ever make that announcement that you said you would, or is it still within that timing window that you said you didn't want to say anything about? You probably know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not talking about that yet. I did briefly talk about it on a small podcast that no one's probably going to hear, and I'm using that as a social, like, little experiment to see what happens.
And then something you said about making challenges straightforward and then making them difficult, and reminded me of a conversation we almost had about music rhythm games.
Oh yeah, those are terrible games.
I want you to elaborate on that real quick.
Oh, well, there's nothing musical about them. Like, Like, it's like, look at musical notation, right? So you look at standard musical notation, and it dictates a very rigid structure to reproduce certain sounds.
Okay.
And there's no interactivity, and there's no play, and there's no sort of choices or anything within the standard musical notation. And rhythm games, and I say rhythm games, and I'm saying what we all colloquially understand as rhythm games. There are games that fit outside of the genre that may or may not be called rhythm games. But I'm talking your Guitar Hero, your Elite Beat Agents, your whatever, all that crap. Mm-hmm. they take essentially music notation, strip it down so it's even simpler. They take a guitar tablature or drum music, which I guess is standard musical notation. But they take what's the most static, non-changing, uninteresting thing about music, and they map that to an interactive thing, losing all in, like using nothing of interest from video games, and make you tap a predetermined beat out. And then when you fail, it like, when you fail in quotes, when you do something that you were not explicitly told to do, rather than it being like, oh man, you win for doing something different, you get like a bad sound. And it's just like, oh, so there's absolutely no interactivity in this. Like, I don't have a choice. I have to do exactly what you tell me to do. Otherwise, you play a bad sound and I fail. How, that's not fucking interesting. That's really, that's sad. Like, that's not cool to me at all. I think that that's the wrong way to approach music, and I don't know anything about music, so I think that's the wrong way to approach games. Like, do X, and if you don't do X, you fail? Ugh.
Well, so a couple of things I want to clear up. A lot of people call them music rhythm games, but then I think there's been a shift recently to start calling them rhythm action games, because, like you're sort of describing, you're not really making music or interacting with the music. You're pretty much sinking into the rhythm, and that rhythm dictates how you are to do your actions. And I think that's a much, much more accurate genre.
Well,
label.
No, it's not. I mean, like, there's some play in rhythm with shifting rhythms and polyrhythms and things like that. Like it should be like static 4/4 beats or something like that. That's like some quantized system, like quantized rhythm button pressing quick time event game might be a better genre name for it. Like, but it sounds stupid because that's actually what it is, and it's really stupid. Like, they're bad. It's a bad path for games to be on.
And then you also sort of are saying that you want all games to feature some kind of creativity, and not all games and not all gameplay has to or should. So in this case, a rhythm action game should be perfectly at home just syncing up its challenges with the rhythm, and then you go ahead and do your actions according to that rhythm.
Wait, but why shouldn't all gameplay have creativity?
You have options. If some should, then some shouldn't. If gameplay and games are pretty big category.
What? No, that's not true. The word play means... Well, it means many things.
Go ahead.
I mean, there's a lot. If you sit there and you interact with Guitar Hero, you're not playing because you have no freedom. If your thing is, oh, I'll just fail then and quit the game, it's just like, that's, then your choice has been boiled down to whether I even start the game or whether I don't start the game, right? So that's the only play that comes in, is you sitting on the couch and being like, well, geez, do I want to put the disc in, or whatever you use to play these games in now, I don't know.
Or
which is good, because each one's sort of designed around a different musical... I mean, I guess it's a song, but it's like a landscape, more like.
I guess that's music.
Let's go.
It's kind of interesting how a lot of games, and it seems more and more frequent, have really brought that sort of musical aspect directly into affecting gameplay.
He does an interesting thing with that game, where you affect the music, but the music also affects you back. Like, even though I'm sort of creating that and it's all happening in rhythm to what I'm doing, and it's also reflecting back that the level is sort of decomposing as I get further deeper into it. It's a pretty intense game. I think he handles music in a really interesting way.
So is Dyad linked to the music, or is the music part of the experience? I'm not exactly clear on that.
How would you describe Dyad as far as being a game and also trying to provide this musical interactive experience?
Well, this is the thing with Dyad. I don't care about the music. It's not important. I don't care about the... I mean, it's important on a whole, but it's not what was interesting, the most interesting to me. I don't care about, like, I had nothing to do with the music, so you people, or I had nothing to do with the music, but the music was made by my friend David Kanega, and it might be argued that some cynic would argue that I'm saying this because I didn't, you know, it was the one thing I didn't have direct control over. So I will say that the graphics I don't give a fuck about, right? Like, I did all those, and they mean nothing to me, right? They're just fucking, they're a way of communicating information. Just as the sound is, right? And they're a way of manipulating your brain moderately. But what was interesting was the mechanics of the game. So, like, how Dyad differs is it didn't try to do anything, like, contrived with the music the way these games are. It didn't try to do that with the visuals or anything like that. It tried to augment the underlying system of the game. It happens to do it extremely well, which is why it's being called a music game, because games do music, for the most part, games do music, or at least interactive music, so unbelievably terribly that when someone comes around and does it pretty good, like I think Dyad does it really good, people are like, oh, it's a music game, only because it did music well. But it's not a museum. It's not a graphics game either, right? Like, I think it does the graphics really well too, right? But, like, you know, and there's debate. Some people hate the music, some people hate the graphics, right? Well, fuck those people. But it's not a music game. It's not a graphics game. There's a very delicate underlying system in the game, and that's what's important in the game, as far as I'm concerned.
I would have to agree with you on part of that, because I like how I like the soundscape and the entire design of the music in Dyad, and I like how a lot of the interactions have different sound effects that are well tuned to whatever the particular track is for a level.
It's ridiculous too, because there's fucking chord changes happening all over the place.
Yeah, but I wasn't anything close to calling a Dyad sort of an interactive music game. I always felt like the music was reactive, and you're sort of playing the game, and it augments. And it gets you feedback on the things that you're doing and controlling. Sort of like the interactivity and the gameplay experience is first, and then everything else supports that by giving you all these different kinds of feedback. And it's just really interesting because you put a lot of different layers into it, and a lot of those parts work really well. But you're not creating music. You don't go in the level to, like, you don't go into the main level necessarily to make music, but you do have a lot of options over it and control, and especially in the remix parts.
Well, I would agree with you that wasn't important, but to say that you don't make music, I think is not true. I think you do make music. I think Dyad is better for making music than, you know, Guitar Hero. I think you have more control over the output of the music. I mean, whether it automatically harmonizes everything for you or whatever. But it's the rules of the game. Like, I had a conversation with David the other day about if Soul Calibur was done to interactive music, it would be one of the best music instruments ever. Like, it would be so cool, because the underlying system of the game that indicates some sort of rhythm, right? And then, you know, you could do various things to do pitches and harmonies and things like that. But, like, the rhythm of how the game elements are laid out dictates the music to a point, but how you choose to interact with them, I mean, you have a lot of freedom in Dyad. So to say that it's not a musical instrument, or say that it doesn't create music, I disagree with. But it's certainly not the focus of the game. It's just a thing that was done well.
That's what I sort of mean by it's reactive, where...
Yeah, but so is a trumpet.
Yeah, but your primary goal is to make sounds and make music with a trumpet when you play. Dyad, you're playing a game with these objectives, and as you do that, everything else reacts around you.
Right.
You could say the same thing for Wind Waker's combat and Zelda for GameCube. You get in combat, you have your beat that goes down your drum bass line, and then as you block or attack, the different notes and the different you know, small bits of melody come in. If you attack more rapidly, you get extended melody. If you get hit, different sound effects play. And the more enemies you attack, of course, the music reacts in the very same way that you might describe Dyad as reacting. But I wouldn't call that sort of a your primary goal is making music.
I wouldn't say it's your primary goal, but I would say Wind Waker has better interactive music than pretty much every other game that claims to have good interactive music.
So then on that angle, you could say that any game with any kind of soundscape that's even like remotely harmonious, remotely in scale or in tone, could be a music, or you're creating music in the same way you are with Wind Waker or Dyad. It's just like, it depends on your preference or what you consider music or all these other factors.
Oh yeah, I think all of these games are music games. It's just like Soul Calibur. So Soul Calibur is a fucking music game. It just happens to be that they use grunts and sword slashing sounds and stabbing sounds for things, right? But if they like, if these people, because they've created a really amazing rhythm with Soul Calibur, if they had the people who made this were like, okay, we're not going to push for this realism angle because it's boring and no one cares, and we were going to actually get like a musician to come in here and set pitches and set certain melodies and maybe some arpeggios somewhere, or like feel the mood of the character and, you know, build stuff up then and have like these really crazy sword fights that maybe, you know, trigger drum samples or something like that. If they had done that, Soul Calibur would have been amazing. Or Soul Calibur is amazing, but they, you know, it's one of my favorite games. But like the music, it would have been so musical, it would have been amazing.
So, final opinion about the Dyad articles, and then I'll give you my final opinion about Dyad.
Final opinion about Dyad articles? What article?
Yeah.
Oh, your articles.
Somehow I detect you think I missed something that you wanted to read about, and that I didn't quite cover something.
No. I think in your in the way in which they were dissected and broken down, I think this is to no fault of your own, but to language. So much of it is still lost in translation. Like, you claim in one of the articles that, like, oh yeah, we can't actually talk about it because it's broken down into these ways. And it's like, well, kinda. But, like, what's really interesting about the game, like, what makes it a really good game is the fact that your brain is taught how to react to what's happening in a way that you can't consciously understand, let alone describe. And you instinctively do things, and you're using instincts you hadn't had 3 hours prior. So that's what's really interesting about the game, and how to communicate that in words, I don't know. And I don't think, I don't know if that's what you found interesting. I think that's what you found interesting, though. And I don't think you succeeded in communicating that in words, because I don't think it's something that can be communicated in words. So, other than the complaint that's, or other than my reaction that it's not possible to sort of summarize what's good about the game. If it was possible to summarize what's good about the game, then I should have just written a summary and I shouldn't have bothered making the game. So, I mean, I guess it makes perfect sense. So, I mean, I don't really have anything to say about it other than that, I guess. Is that, like, trying to summarize the game isn't possible. And if it was possible, I should have just written a summary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's that?
I'll take it. So Dyad, right?
You were gonna give me your final thoughts on the game.
Mm-hmm. Other than like a glitch, a bug here and there, you know.
There's no bugs. There's one bug. There's one bug.
One bug. All right.
Wait. Did you find more than one bug? Seriously? There is one bug, and I have fixed it for the European version, and I'm gonna issue a patch soon. But is there seriously more than one bug?
There's only one bug that I could repeat.
Okay.
But then I think there's just another time where either the system froze up or something weird happened with the menu. But I couldn't repeat that one. So don't worry about that.
But it's I mean, other than the one bug that we all know about.
Yeah.
It is relatively, it's like bug free, right? Like, I worked really hard not to have any fucking bugs.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't find any other bugs, no. And that's my profession, so feel good about that.
That's good to know.
And then I wouldn't change anything about Dyad.
Oh, so you mean it's perfect?
Yeah, I think for the way you, just knowing a little bit about your background and then what you put into it, what you tried to create and sort of your philosophies, like, it is what you wanted to make, and it, you can tell there's a lot of work put into it, and I wouldn't change anything. There wouldn't be anything I would change to improve the gameplay this way or that way, and because it was built on sort of a hierarchy of, like, let's make this interactive and let's make this gameplay meaningful, then everything else is put into a very clear context, at least one that I understand. So, like, yeah, if I gave scores, it would get a very high score, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I
don't give scores. Well, and thank you. I'm glad you really liked it, and I think that it's important that people hate it, and there are certainly people who hate it. So yeah, I think it's really important for people to hate the game, and I'm glad some people hate it. I think that if it didn't have strong negative opinions towards it, then it wasn't saying anything.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, I think if it's trying to say something, then it should have people who dislike it. And it certainly does. And it should have people that, like, your perspective of it, like the way in which you described your opinion of it, you didn't say it was like, oh, this is the best game ever. You said, for what you were trying to do, this is really good. It's like, yeah, that's right. Because, like, it's not supposed to be a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be something that is just, like, clearly polished for consumption by people with no rough edges that no one can get. It's not supposed to be a shiny, glossy thing that's not trying to be middle of the road and not trying to say anything,
yeah,
and trying to be like a really polished experience. It's not that at all. It's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be fucking rough at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like you're playing it and then the game fucking screams at you when it was calm 6 seconds earlier. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Or you drop your controller and you never want to see the game again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's supposed to have moments like that. And the way in which you summarized it clearly indicates that happened to you, which I think is good. Did you find some parts incredibly horrifying?
Well, there's some parts that are just loud, like loud sounds bother me sometimes. And there's that one level where it starts off all peaceful, like where you start the level, it's like ding, ding. Then all of a sudden, what level is that? It's like a...
Oh, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it for people.
Just like, why would you turn it up so loud? I have to, like, pause the game and turn it down.
Would you do that?
Because I'm always playing at night and there's other humans on this planet that could hear it.
Oh, it's meant to be loud. Like,
yeah, I definitely want to dive more into sort of turning it all the way up and being in the dark room, as you suggest. And there's a lot more I want to do and play, but I think I'm going to let it settle for a while and come back to it. I think one of the things I really appreciate most about the game is how much it reveals so many things that I've been writing about as far as game design and good game design. And it also, like, it reveals it and it brings certain things into clear focus. And it challenged me to think about skill in new ways. And when I first checked it out in February, I'm like, in order to be comfortable talking about certain aspects of this game, I think I'm going to have to write, and then, like, I drew this little map, and I had this map of all these concepts I needed to work through before I could write about Dyad, and, like, Dyad's right in the middle. So then, since GDC, I had to write all those articles before it, just to get to a place comfortable in my head where I wanted to write about Dyad, and it's still making me think about neat things, so that's a very, very big accomplishment on your part.
I'm sure it was an accident, but thanks. Yeah, like, it's, I mean, this is what I hate about it.
And that is it for our podcast show. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to give a special thanks to Sean McGrath and David Kanega, the creator of Dyad and the music composer of Dyad. Special thanks to them. Dyad is a PSN exclusive for $15. If you want to check it out and find out all the crazy things that we've been talking about on this interview and in the articles, just check out the free demo of Dyad. Download it on the PSN store today. On a side note, I want to give a special thanks to We Can Confirm, the Totally Rad Show, and the 8-4 Play podcast, and the YouTube videos that I also took audio quotes from, the Game Explain, IGN, Team XX, and Rev3 Game videos on YouTube. Check those guys out. They all make great videos talking about Dyad. If you want to be a part of the Dyad conversation, or just in general want to talk about game design in a very high level, in a very critical fashion, then feel free to contact me. My blog, critical-gaming.com. There's an about page where you can get in contact me in a variety of different ways. So come join the conversation. If you have questions, I can pass them along or answer them myself, and it should all be good. Thank you very much. This has been the first podcast that I created all by myself. So if you like it, please give me some feedback. And if you don't, if you have any helpful tips, I'd love to hear that as well. And please enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you. Until next time, peace.
Everything sucks, everything sucks, everything sucks, everything sucks, everything sucks, everything sucks. Everything is awesome.
He'll F with the sound just to mess with you. You're just like, you're just kind of holding on for dear life. It's crazy.
It's like space travel.
The sound will sort of like get cacophonous and amelodic, you know. So you start getting tense when you're playing it because it's like, it's like,
I needed a little break after that.
And it's a blast, and you should check it out.
Awesome.
DYAD, look it up on YouTube.
It is reminiscent of Tempest in the sense that you are rotating around a cone that you're right. going down, but you are propelling yourself by grabbing onto things and pulling yourself through that cone.
Sensory overload.
What's your tolerance level for games that are so sensory engrossing that they have a physical effect on you? You know, like, so for instance, Dyad certainly is one of them.
Right.
It's a surprisingly deep game.
You would learn a new concept, and you would only have to worry about that new concept.
Every single level has new concepts. And then he just keeps adding new things and adding new things and adding new things.
And, like, it just gets faster and faster and faster and faster.
Then, in a very indie sort of way, said, okay, I've got music, I've got colors, I've got character moving through here.
And all these new concepts.
What can I do with it?
New concept after new concept after new concept after new concept.
Really, it's really cool.
It's a fantastic game. It's really, really great.
It's these unique, like, indie games that are, like, you know, not afraid to take creative risks and try cool things that, like, really excite me.
A really good game.
It is a very good game.
It is actually, it has good gameplay.
Cylindrical, you know, area that you're sort of going into. You can rotate 360 degrees around it.
By the end, I was just hanging on to your left. Literally, it's just like, yeah!